Blog Talk Radio.
Say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare. Of course, a snare is a trap of the fowler, and a fowler is a person who takes or kills for food or whatever it is that he wants or she wants. And from the perilous, the hazardous, dangerous pestilences, that's a fatal disease, a pestilence. It's airborne. You can catch it, die like a flu or bubonic plague. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Amen. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Thank you, God. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will dwell. I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. I have read Psalm 31. Let's go to a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, I thank you. We thank you. We should thank you for your patience. We thank you for loving us, including those who are straying. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for blessing the city of Detroit, Michigan, and devouring the wolves who are trying their best to take this city by trickery and manipulations. We also thank you, our Heavenly Father, for giving us sane mind, education, wealth, good health, for protecting us in all that we have, all that you have given us, protecting us from the evil one. Amen, amen, amen. Hi there, sheep. I am Sandra Harris. You are listening to the Feed My Sheep show. You long-term listeners know that you are to have your Bible. I have the New King James Version of the Bible. My Bible may read slightly different from yours. You know, of course, to have your pen, paper, or pencil, and a cold glass of water. You know water is good for you. Happy Sabbath. Also, happy Mother's Day to us who are mothers, and to all women for tomorrow. You have the potential to become mothers if you choose. And I know that abortion is not going to go away, but I think it's my job to tell you that God does not want you to do that. Even though it's a man-made law that you can, if you do it within a certain number of months, it is not of God's law. The Ten Commandments tell you that you should not kill. And you can find those in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, as well as in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verses 6 through 22. And also in Proverbs chapter 6 through 16, there's some place that says, thou shalt not shed innocent blood. Okay, sheep, as well as your listeners who are not sheep but will be, but are is on their way to becoming a sheep, turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Verse 11, I will start reading from where I left off the last time. So you want to know why I read, huh? That's to, so that I won't tell you any tales. I'm very serious about what I'm doing for God. And if it's written in the Bible, I know there is a place in, where it says to discern. So I ask God to, when he told me to feed his sheep and to minister unto the people, I didn't really know how. I said, well, what I will do is read the Bible. And I've made known to you listeners that some of the Bible I will not read. And I've chosen to not read from Paul's ministry, although today I may touch on it. Just to prove a point, I have read it, and you read it for yourselves. That's the good thing about having this Bible. You can read it for yourself. Let me just have a word of prayer for myself, because I want to finish certain things. And when I began to talk, sometimes I would just ramble, and won't shut up and will not get my point across or my points across. Let me just have a quick word of prayer for myself. My Father in heaven, allow me to read all of chapter 19 from verse 11 and then all of chapter 20 of Matthew right now. I pray this prayer in your son Jesus' name. Amen. So let's get started. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, and I will start reading. But he said to them, talking about Jesus, let me just say this. I'm going to give a brief outline of chapter 19. Jesus talks about celibacy. And celibacy means to abstain from sex or do not have sex. He talks about blessing the little children, and there comes a rich young man. And then in chapter 19, he will talk about with God all things are possible. So let's get started reading chapter 19. But he said to them, and that he is Jesus, all cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs. Eunuch is a male. And what with the eunuch, he has been castrated, or his testicles have been surgically removed. Now, I don't know about the penis, but he's unable to bring forth children anymore. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept them. Then little children were brought to him, meaning brought to Jesus, that he might put hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid hands on them and departed from there. Now behold, one comes and said to him, good teacher, what things must I do that I might have eternal life? And this is what I am after, eternal life for myself. This is why I'm obedient to what God has told me to do in a dream. Again, feed his sheep and minister unto the people, and fear not, I am with you. Now this is a young rich man who comes seeking the counsel of Jesus. What must he do in order to have eternal life? And Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except for one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Okay, what did I just say? Keep the commandments. Now, I'm going to go to the book of Hebrews for a moment. Hopefully I can find it quickly. And I want to share with you what a young man and a woman were talking about. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 10. And they were saying that we were under grace and we don't have to accept the Ten Commandments or the laws. Well, you see, I disagree with them. I've not gone to any school of divinity. I am just reading this King James Version of the Bible. And this book has opened up my eyes to many things. I read to you earlier in the last year, the book of Revelation. And one of the seven churches says, he says that something about the Jews going around saying they are Jews and they are not. And that causes me to ponder, what did Hitler know? You know, why were those people destroyed? I don't even know my own history. Being a black woman in America, I know that there were African-American or black people in America before Columbus came, but it's not taught in our history books. And I don't want to say anything that will alienate this radio from airing my broadcast. I'm searching for the truth. And those people who know the truth, I wish they would tell the truth. I don't know the truth. I'm just going by what I hear and what I read. Let me go to Hebrews, where the young man and the young woman had said that we were under grace and don't have to go by God's law. And I disagree with them wholeheartedly. Let me just pick up reading just a little bit. We're in Hebrews chapter 10, and that's one another book that they say Paul wrote. And, of course, you know that I do not agree with it. Follow Paul's teachings. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And this is one of the reasons why I do not follow Paul's teachings. One day, maybe I will get to it and tell you all but the reasons why I do not follow his teachings. But see, here, there's not clarity for some people. He's talking about, in verse 8, chapter 10, verse 8, he's talking about sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin. And you go down to, burnt offerings for sin, and it tells you that God had no pleasure in them. And then you go down to verse 9, it tells you where it says, Jesus have come to do your will, O Lord, and that is to take away the first. And he's talking about the laws. And this is Paul now. And then that he may establish the second, that Jesus may establish the second law. And verse 10 says that by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And what I want you to understand, chief, is that there may very well be a new law, one of grace, but Jesus did not get rid of moral laws. You are to keep those laws. And that's what I stand on. I just read to you in the book of Matthew. Go back to Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, where Jesus tells the young man to keep the commandments. And those are the keys to eternal life, in addition to other laws that are written in the book of Leviticus. Let's pick up on chapter 19, verse 18. He said to him, which ones, Jesus said, you shall not murder, so do not abort your babies, women. You shall not commit adultery. Adultery means to be unfaithful to your spouse. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus only cites six commandments here. The young man interrupts Jesus and says to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And Jesus says to him, if you want to be perfect, go. Sell what you have and give to the poor. My mind just reverted back to what a politician said about the very poor. He doesn't care about the very poor. But I don't want to misquote him, so let me just go on. And you shall have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me. Well, I understand the dilemma of the young man. It's hard following Jesus. and that there are a lot of things that you, this world gives you, and that you will have to give up when you follow Jesus. Let's pick up reading at verse 22. And my mind just went back to, like, what are some of the things that you have to give up? Well, you have to give up the lying, all the things in the commandment, and commandments, and then go to the book of Leviticus. There are several laws in that book. Let's pick up reading in verse 22, chapter 19. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now let me just tell you what I've learned about the eye of a needle by watching the History Channel when I was able to afford cable. Can't afford cable right now, but as soon as I get money, I'm going to go back. They explained to me that the eye of a needle referred to in the Bible is where it's like going through my doorway, a camel going through my doorway. It would be hard for a camel to come through my doorway to any regular sized door of a home. And what they showed was how these cities had gates to them, and some of those gates were the size of a regular house doorway. You just couldn't, a camel could not go through it. You would have to squeeze him through it. It was difficult to get that camel through. So let's pick up at verse 25, chapter 19 of Matthew. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, the revival, or the rebirth, when the Son of Man sits on the throne in his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And anyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit everlasting life. You see, that's what you have to do. Follow Jesus. And you have to give up some things in order to have eternal life. Follow the commandments. Pick up in verse 30. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. So you know how you people on earth have mistreated us black folks, African Americans. We're last, but in God's eyes, we're going to be first. Amen. Now that's coming from Sandra Harris. And that's just my view. And let's talk about, go to chapter 20. Father, bless me to read all of chapter 20 in the next 4 minutes. Jesus is talking about, he gives a parable. A parable is a moral or a spiritual lesson. Chapter 20 reads, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius is about $20 in today's language, today's value, a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour. The third hour is around 8 to 9 a.m. And saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour. The sixth hour is around noontime. And the ninth hour is around 3 o'clock. And did likewise. And about the 11th hour, the 11th hour is between 5 and 6 p.m., he went out to find others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one heard us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And then those who came and those who were hired about the 11th, let me start reading that again, and when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they received each a denaro. But when the first came, they supposed that they would have received more, and they likewise received a denarius. And when they had received it, they murmured against the landowner, saying, I have a few moments left, saying, these last men have worked only an hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he, the landowner, said to them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things, or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. I'm going to stop reading here and have a closing prayer. And I thank God. I pray that we have learned something from the reading today. Our Father in heaven, thank you for allowing us this day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Protect our sheep from the evil ones, and give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Take God along with you everywhere you go. And if it's God's will, I will be with you next time. Forever.
heart. We've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause He's love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful. The Jesus.